So, Jenny, can you explain the impetus behind writing this book?
So I'm writing this book called Stop Saving the Planet, which is sort of counterintuitive, but it's really asking us to really completely rethink these traditions in environmentalism about environmental causes and problems and solutions. So traditionally, environmentalism has really, this really heart and soul has really been about saving this non-human world called, that we call environment. But the book is really about saying, well, the problem with that tradition is that we really need to start thinking about nature as the foundation of modern life rather than as an escape.
So the title of your book, as you mentioned, is Stop Saving the Planet. And I mean, you're not encouraging people to stop recycling or stop caring about our planet. But is there something in the language of saving the planet that...
Yeah, so it's not stop saving the planet and start trashing the planet. It's more just this idea of saving the planet, I think, has really steered us off in some really counterproductive directions. So one of the things I do in the book, and this is one of the more controversial pieces of it, is I really go after this emphasis on individual virtuous actions as a way to address environmental problems. Individual actions will never solve the environmental problems that we have to solve, like climate change and, you know, extinction and waste. We really need big systemic structural solutions. And I feel like the emphasis on individual action is sort of persuading us that we're doing something when we're really not.
But as you encourage people to move away from a strict focus on individualism in the environment and the environmental movement, I think people really still want to feel like they're contributing and feel like they are making a difference in the world. Are there some things that you can identify or some things that people can still do? People, like, what's your biggest advice for people who still want to feel that sense of empowerment?
So I'm going to push back against that a little bit, because I do feel that it's important for individuals, you know, to want to do something. I do feel that people are... they care a lot, you know, they're worried a lot, they're frightened a lot about environmental problems. But I also feel like the biggest question that's defined in American environmentalism has been, what can I do? And there are things you can do. And in this book, I actually have 50 ways to stop saving the planet. And some of those are things that you can actually do. But I also say that we really need to take a step back, because I think that the question, what can I do, is an important question, but not if it gets in the way of the question, what needs to be done. And I think historically in American environmentalism, it has seriously gotten in the way of the question, what needs to be done.
So what then, what is the course of action for your audience, for someone reading the book? What's the biggest takeaway, or what is their next step?
I think we need to take a lot of the virtue out of environmental actions and just be citizens. Just do these things, and then also regulate them and legislate them. So that, you know, recycling is not a personal choice. Buying a fuel-efficient car is not a personal choice. These should be choices that we make at the public level.
What is your biggest advice for the average person? Is this about wielding our vote?
Honestly, I feel like vote and pay your taxes are really high at the top of the list for being a good environmentalist. You know, be a citizen. Vote and pay your taxes. There's a lot, you know, we have the culture in this country of thinking that taxes are bad and trying to minimize our taxes. So you have a lot of people who are doing all kinds of, you know, making all kinds of efforts to be good environmentalists, but they're not, but they're trying to minimize their taxes. That's counterproductive. Pay attention to the nature of everyday life.
So you've been in Aspen for about a month.
Yes.
Working on this book. How has it been working in Aspen?
Well, it's ironic, because here I am. And I started out as a nature girl. I mean, my family, actually, we used to come to Aspen in the 60s. And I have come back to Aspen regularly since then. It's one of my, if not my favorite place in the world. So it's just been such a huge gift. And it's a little ironic, right, because... I'm really talking about shifting the focus of environmentalism from saving these beautiful places out there to how we use nature to live. And here I am in this beautiful place, and every chance I get, I'm actually going out hiking, you know, and into these beautiful places. So it's a really funny place to be working on this book. But it's also, you know, my book is not an argument by any means against wilderness preservation or wildlife conservation. In fact, I'm a huge advocate for those things. But I think that part of using and living in a place sustainably and equitably is that you have to save some places as wild, and you have to make sure that you know, other species also have livable places to live. I've definitely got back in touch with my inner nature girl while being here.
Thank you so much for taking this time.
Thank you.